Thank you. We're joined, as usual, by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
And we're pleased to welcome as our guest Republican candidate for U.S. Senate, Robert Flanders. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Our guest, Bob Flanders, is one of two Republicans running for the chance to take on Democratic Senator Sheldon Whitehouse next year. Bob, you say that Senator Whitehouse is too partisan and that you would do a better job advocating for working class families. Senator Whitehouse has been in office for just about 10 years. So what are some of the key things that you would have done differently in the Senate during the last 10 years had you been there instead?
Well, for one, I would have pursued a lot more bipartisan solutions to some of the issues that are troubling us.
How about something specific rather than a philosophical difference, like the idea of being more bipartisan?
Well, for example, White House sponsored legislation that effectively took away the Drug Enforcement Agency's authority to regulate opioids, and particularly pill mill distributors. The opioid crisis has been a terrible one here in Rhode Island and across the nation. Thousands upon thousands of people have died. I certainly would not have worked in that way. I think we need better policy on opioids. It's a devastating crisis here in the state. And so there's an example where at the same time he's taking drug money from big pharma, he's passing legislation that's handicapping the DEA's enforcement authority.
Before we go to Scott, any other key policy differences where you would have acted differently than Senator Whitehouse over the last 10 years?
Well, he's consistently supported the party line from the Democratic side of the aisle. He's one of the ninth most partisan senator in the entire United States. So I certainly would have taken stands against some of the things that he's been supportive of, and I'm all for more bipartisanship, and he's just the opposite.
Well, speaking of partisanship, how do you defend this Republican tax program that's going through right now, especially when the Republican majority in the Senate did not hold one public hearing, not one public hearing on this?
That's clearly the most disappointing aspect of this. I fault the Republicans the same way I do the Democrats on health care. Obamacare was an all-Democratic initiative.
It was, but they had a lot of vetting and many, many, many public hearings.
Yes, and I fault the Republicans for not doing that. That's one of the things that's very disappointing about this Republican tax bill. It needs to have more input from the Democratic side of the aisle. So I disagree with that aspect.
Well, I mean, speaking of the tax bill now, I mean, we can argue and you can say that there will be some help for the middle class in terms of, the deductions and so forth. But what about the giveaways to business and the idea that the deficit is going to soar? And ultimately, the idea is that when the deficit soars enough, there's going to be cutbacks on very popular programs like Medicaid and Medicare. Are you in a position to defend that? Or what's your position on that?
Well, I think that it's very helpful that there are some provisions in this legislation that will help business, and particularly small business, hire more people, raise wages, and prosper. I think that for too long, business has not had a tax code that is going to be helpful to grow our economy. And I think one of the objectives of this legislation is to do just that. So I applaud the provisions in here that help business. I don't know that we need to go all the way from 35 to 20%. I think 22% or 25% would probably work just as well and free up more money to help some of these other issues. But the fact that it's geared to help business as well as middle-class taxpayers and Rhode Islanders in particular is a good thing.
Let me ask you about that, Bob, because you have said that the Republican tax plan is meant to help small businesses and middle class, but critics say it would raise the deficit by more than $1 trillion over 10 years and disproportionately benefit the wealthy. Meanwhile, a survey by Bank of America Merrill Lynch found that most business executives would not share savings from the tax plan with their workers. So are you looking at this tax plan with rose-colored glasses?
Well, I don't think so. I think the Tax Foundation has said that the economy, the GDP will grow by 4% if this is passed. Wages will tend to grow. Income will go up by 3%. So I think, and Rhode Islanders' job creation will grow. We'll have almost more 3,000 more jobs created as a result of this. So I think that, yes, the deficit is a concern, but I think the benefits of doing this and hopefully the increased tax collections that will result will be more than compensating.
Well, you know, the other thing is we're sort of a blue state. What about the whole idea of eliminating the deductions for state and local taxes? And that's really going to hurt us. And how is what's your position on that?
Yeah, I think that is an unfortunate thing. I'm hoping that one of the things that comes out of the conference is that they'll restore the ability to take those deductions again, because I think we here in Rhode Island, many of us rely on that. And that's true in other big state tax states, which is one of the unfortunate things. We're in that category, and so we need some relief there.
Let's shift gears and talk about the issue of sexual harassment. President Trump and the Republican National Committee this week put their support behind embattled U.S. Senate candidate Roy Moore in Alabama. Robert Flanders, I believe you've said that you think Roy Moore should end his campaign. Is that correct?
It is correct.
There have also been many allegations of sexual harassment involving President Trump. So how do you look at that? Is there a double standard in some Republicans like yourself saying Moore should end his campaign but not calling on President Trump to step down?
Well, I don't think so, because I think in Trump's case, the allegations against him were out there in the electorate when people voted or didn't vote for him. If there was something new and credible and substantial, I might think differently. But at this point, I think the electorate knows what they got when they elected President Trump, and he's already facing one congressional investigation that could lead to interesting developments. So we have to have a president that can function, and subjecting him to further congressional inquiries, I don't think would be a good thing at this point, absent additional evidence.
Well, the thing is, Moore is probably going to get reelected. The people are going to put him there. If you were his colleague, what position would you take? How would you handle that in the sense that he is, you know, a representative of the people, but really a disgrace? And his certainly what he did is very credible, and he continues to deny it.
Right. Well, in his case, if he were to get elected, I would favor sending the situation that he presents to the Ethics Committee for investigation at the congressional level. You know, we've had other situations. Senator Packwood, you may recall, had problems in this area. I think Adam Clayton Powell on the congressional side. There are precedents for people being effectively unseated or being forced to resign. So the fact that he gets elected doesn't necessarily end the business.
If you were to get elected, your first vote down there would be for Mitch McConnell. How does that help Rhode Island?
Well, I think that's an unwarranted assumption as to whether that would happen. I would certainly be caucusing with the Republicans and whether he's the most effective, best person to lead the Republicans remains to be seen. So I think that's premature.
Do you support the FCC in its seeming intent to undo net neutrality?
I don't. I think that potentially is harmful. I like the fact that net neutrality allows small and big internet providers and operators to work across that spectrum. And I'm concerned that this will give the big boys a too big of an edge.
We're out of time, so we'll leave the discussion there. Thanks for joining us on Political Roundtable. Scott?
Great to be here.
Maureen?
Thank you.
And U.S. Senate candidate Robert Flanders.
Thank you all.